Boyd Callis, Terry Daly, and many others refused to accept defeat and never gave up the hope that there was, after all, justice within the system. Ada and the Menominee were told last year that restoration was out of the question, that there was no hope to reverse the policy of termination for the Menominees. Yet, look what she and others have accomplished. After intensive work on the part of the Menominee, the Department of Interior sent forward to the Congress a report favoring enactment of restoration legislation, reversing a policy of years. At the request of Ada, Melvin Laird, former congressman and president, came out with a forthright statement in support of restoration. 53 members of the House of Representatives of both parties and every political persuasion were persuaded to co-sponsor the legislation which passed the House. 404 of the 435 members voted for its passage. Prospects of passage in the Senate are very favorable. Finally, President Nixon, his message to this very convention, urged enactment and assures signing. This is a record which Ada, the Menominee, and all who gave their assistance and support can be proud of. I might say of one who cannot be with us today gave his support. John Saylor, the ranking minority member on the committee, who first went to the Congress some 25 years ago, opposed when he was first assigned to the Committee on Interior, opposed the policy of termination in the 50s. He was a strong advocate for restoration, and I thought made one of the best speeches on the floor of the House for Menominee restoration. And that was his last speech on the floor of the House of Representatives. I think we owe him a great debt of gratitude, and I certainly mourn his passing, as I do the passing of my very good friend, your friend and leader, Robert Ginn. But we must go on, and we must continue to make this record and to discuss the effects of restoration. When Brian DeLorean testified before my subcommittee on the Menominee Bill, he said, quote, "A lot of us have advocated coming to Congress, presenting our case, rather than going on the activist trail. We very badly need an action by the Congress, such as restoration of Menominee, to show the activists that you can work through the system. Every day, I face a lot of people in the American Indian movement and other movements. They say, what have you been able to do going through the system? You haven't gotten anything done. You had your chance, so now we're taking over," unquote. While the Menominee are not yet finally restored, I would like to point out and point to what they have accomplished as proof that even in the face of despair and waning hope, there is an alternative to violence and hope for justice within the system. You have taken restoration now as the theme for this convention. I have tried to share with you the aptness of that theme as we move very close to the day when the theme for the Menominee becomes fact. Had the phrase restoration now had no meaning beyond the restoration of the Menominee, it would have been no less important. But for my part, it had and will have a meaning and impact far beyond the Menominee. For me, no other act of the Congress will more clearly signal to the Indian community across the nation that termination is a dead issue and a firmly renounced policy. Indeed, termination is terminated. I am sure that you have adopted that theme in the same spirit. Looking at the schedule and agenda, it's clear that the various discussion topics of your convention evidence that your thoughts, while with the restoration of the Menominee, extend far beyond that to the restoration of many rights and values that make up Indian life. It is time for a restoration of a true right of tribal self-determination and self-government. It is time to restore to the Indian people a strong, effective tribal government that can well serve the needs of the tribe as a whole while protecting the individual rights of its members. We in the Congress are now aware of that need and demand as we move on legislation designed to facilitate that goal. I have introduced H.R. 6103, which will permit the tribes through contracting to assume control of programs offered for their benefit. It is time for a restoration to the Indian people of the right to have their trustee, the United States, truly and honestly render protection to their trust resources and assets. As you heard the group speaking on water rights here today, my subcommittee has begun to move on the Indian Trust Council legislation, which the administration has submitted and which I have introduced as H.R. 6106. The legislation submitted by the administration is admittedly inadequate in many respects. But I am firmly convinced that with the support and advice of the Indian people, we can fashion legislation which will give substance to the legal and moral obligations of the United States as trustee. It is time to restore to the Indian people the pride of self-sufficiency and the right to develop their own resources rather than leasing them out to outside interests. My subcommittee has taken up the Indian financing legislation, which will increase the revolving loan fund by $50 million. Create a new loan insurance and guarantee fund to support $200 million in private loans to Indians, and authorizes appropriations for an Indian business development fund at a level of $10 billion for the next three fiscal years. We have refined the legislation, which has already passed the Senate, and will shortly be reporting that bill to the full committee for its consideration. It is time to restore to the Indian people the right to control the education of their own children, whether they be in the public schools or in the BIA schools. This control must extend to what is taught, where it is taught, how it is taught, and by whom it is taught. Indian advisory committees, paper committees, are not enough. Control must mean control of funds being made available for Indian education, and control of the educational programs and curriculum. It is with this firm conviction that I was the prime sponsor of legislation in the 92nd Congress, which became the Indian Education Act of 1972. It is with the same conviction that I will seek to pass legislation in the coming years to bring about needed reform in the PI educational program and system. It is time for the restoration to the Indian people of the right to have an effective administration of the programs and funds authorized by the Congress for the benefit of Indians. They do not need a BIA that is leaderless for almost a year. They do not need a BIA that operates in an atmosphere of confusion and chaos. They do not need a BIA that drifts aimlessly. They do not need a BIA that is subject to factionalism and power struggle among the bureaucrats and petty politicians. It is still uncertain what the solution is for the reorganization and reform of the BIA and federal administration of Indian affairs. But whatever occurs must occur with the full prior knowledge of the Indian people and with their active consultation and for cooperation. It is with that view that I am giving active consideration to supporting legislation mandating a congressional review of the field of Indian affairs, the entire field. As you know, Senator Everest, chairman of the Senate Subcommittee on Indian Affairs, has introduced legislation in that regard, which I have reviewed. I'd just like to point out here that I think we're very fortunate in having, as the chairman of the Senate Indian Affairs Subcommittee, Jim Everest of South Dakota. He's a fine person, a good, close, personal friend of mine, a former colleague in the House, and he and I and our staffs have the closest cooperation and coordination for the first time in recent history in Indian affairs. I think this combination is going to bode well, and I certainly commend him to you. With some modifications, this proposal may well meet the requirements, which I see as necessary to bring about the end which the Indian people themselves have set. And finally, it is time, long past time, to restore to the Indian people the pride and dignity of being Indians. The legislative program which I have outlined for you here today will do much in that effort. And the continued efforts of the congressional leadership, of which, for my part, I pledge you and other friends of Indians, both in and out of the government, will aid in these efforts. But in the final analysis, the restoration of Indian pride and dignity depends, in most part, upon the Indian people themselves. It is through their efforts and accomplishments, working with the tools and resources available to them, that Indian pride will be restored. Who cannot be proud to identify with an Ada Deer whose determination has turned around the entire federal government on the question of Menominee determination? Who cannot be proud of a Bynda Laurier whose well-deserved respect among the Indians and non-Indians alike and whose command of the printed word has brought about a renaissance in Indian thought and philosophy? And let me tell you, I'm very proud of a young Sioux by the name of Frank Ducheneau, who's the counsel on my committee. His skill, his intellect, and his dedication to purpose have guided this chairman over the shoals of opposition in many instances. And who cannot be proud to identify with the Frank Degnans of Alaska, upon whose quiet dignity and unassuming resolve was built the successful settlement of the Alaskan Native land claims? It is upon the accomplishments of people such as these and the leadership gathered here today that the restoration of Indian pride and dignity depends. I think it's in good hands. Thank you very much. Thank you.
ask it.
I
I intend to run in 2 years. With that, I'd just like to say that I think we've got a lot of talent in the country. Both of these guys would be equally as good presidents. I would hope that for myself and other past presidents of the National Congress, that there's always been kind of an impression that people that have been involved with the Congress, either president or executive director, have kind of ridden into oblivion. I would hope that some of us, some of the past presidents and executive directors, might put some kind of an organization together, at least an advisory organization of past presidents and past executive committee members, that might continue to support this organization very actively, and really, I think, carry with us the kind of dedication that all of us have had at one time or another for the National Congress. So thank you all very much. It's been a pleasure for 2 years. I've loved it. But I think I've got other things to do, and we've got plenty of talent coming up the pipe. Thank you much.
Mel Tomasket.
I've lost 10 pounds this week. Some of it was sweat, some of it was scared. I don't know what to say. I never ever thought in my whole life that I would ever be elected to anything like this. I never being elected to my tribal council was one of the biggest things that ever happened to me. And it was, because that was my own blood. My old brother tribes on our reservation that elected me to the council. Today, I don't think that there's anything that has ever filled me up inside like having the confidence of you people behind me. I brought Howard up here to specifically show that there is no pet area in this United States for Indians. That as far as I'm concerned, we're all going to work together. And I would like to meet with all the different areas at your convenience throughout the country to help put the communication system together to show that the Northwest, by supporting me, also is offering me to help you in any way that I possibly can. I had a very worthy opponent. It's too bad you can't have two presidents, because I don't think that I could ask for anyone better than Howard to be running again. I said that I wouldn't make any commitments that I don't think I can carry out. But I'll make one commitment that I give to Indians all across this country, and that's this. That I give you 110% of myself fighting for Indian rights any place the fight occurs, on any reservation. I'll do my best to help persuade different cities, counties and states to make sure that our Indian people in urban areas get their fair share of what goes into urban areas which they haven't been getting, that I'm well aware of working in the Seattle area. If I can't dish out that other extra 10% of myself, then I don't belong here. I think that anybody that holds this position gives you their life and their support and their commitment through the whole term of this office, and I give you that. And I thank you very much for this opportunity to work for the Indian people in this country. And I'd like for everybody to listen to Howard and give him a big hand. He's a great man. Thank you.
I'm a big man. I weigh 255 pounds. I don't know what I would have done if I would have won. I would like to say that I want to thank all the people that voted for me. I think that one of the impressions that I have made a point. capable young Indian guy. But I would like to relate, there isn't a